Three is a magic number.
I read somewhere that everybody on this planet is separated by only
three
other people. Three degrees of separation.
BatsKidsRadio.com
presents
three degrees of separation.
Three degrees
of separation. Internet radio's choice for all things urban. Music, talk, politics, nightlife, and more.
Brothers should pull up their pants, you know? Come on.
Turn your radio up and get with the program.
What's up? It's your boys. The 3 Degrees Crew is back. This is episode number 2, season like 7, and we are in the building on this Tuesday. We're taping on a Thursday, but y'all are here this live on February 24th. We're excited about tonight's show. Tonight we're going to be talking about Black History. We got to get this in. We always do a Black History show. Sometimes it's about Black History and sometimes it's not. So tonight we're going to talk about whether or not it's not Black History, and that it needs to be Black History Year. So we're going to get into that tonight. It should be a fun show talking about the relevance of Black people's history and in February in 2015. I'm your boy, L. Love. I'm sitting next to the man with the plan, our super producer, Silly Thoughts. What's going on, brother?
Hey. How y'all doing out there? It is a cold day here in the South. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But I've got my long johns on, because I'm from Florida, so I got thin blood. But we're going to make it do what it do, and number 2.
That's right.
On the reboot.
That's what's up. Well, look, we're going to get straight into it. We said this year was going to be cutting out the fluff, getting straight to that meat, to the gristle on the bone. We're going to get straight into it. And so it's time to do the thing we call study hall, where we talk about the things that we learned over this past week. And so it's time to get it started. It's study hall.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yes. I think very deeply.
Silly, what you learn?
Well, you know, yesterday was Ash Wednesday, since we're taping on a Thursday. And so I went to church last night and had a great experience. And one of the things people talk about Lent, and now we're in the Lent season, we're 40 days out from Easter, and we say, you know what, everybody talks about Lent, even if they don't go to church. I'm going to give up something for Lent. I'm going to give up this for Lent. And they make it about willpower. What can I give up to show how strong I am mentally to give this thing up that I'm in love with, whether it's alcohol or some special foods or whatever it is, you give it up. But it's about willpower. But Lent is really about sacrifice and obedience to and offering that up to the Lord and saying, you know what, I am going to submit to you, God. I'm going to sacrifice this and be obedient to your will. That's what Lent is about. It's not about testing your willpower and for 40 days and then moving on and still not going to church on Easter Sunday or making your appearance, your annual appearance to church on Easter Sunday. Y'all CME people out there, if y'all don't know what CME is, that's Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. Y'all CME folks out there, you show up 3 times a year to church. So if you want to give up something for Lent, if you're going to fast, if you're going to give up something, understand it's about sacrifice and obedience and not just testing your personal willpower. That's what I learned this week.
All right. Can I be transparent about something?
Yes, sir.
This may speak to my Christianity, but I've never truly observed Lent in a way of like, giving up something. Like, I've tried it. I think I've made, but I'm always, like, 2 days late in starting, right?
Right.
Never like rolling myself up to, all right, I need to identify something ahead of the game and then mapped out in my brain that I'm going to do that. I mean, I remember my mom used to make me like save quarters and like do certain things during Lent. And then I would provide that. But as a kid, you just do what your mama say. But I'm just talking about as a grown up, I've never really like for a full 40 days given up anything. And
I've done it, and it's and I'm doing it now, starting with a fast, going from sun up to sundown, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., No food. The only thing I could do is drink water. So, it's tough. It's tough, but I tell you, it's a cleansing experience, and really, it does in those times when you're doing it, like during lunch, you're supposed to be, you know, you open up your Bible and you read your scriptures or you pray. In those times where you're finding it tough, and you're really about renewing or refreshing your relationship with God, and that's what it's about. But I would say give it a shot. You know, definitely. Growing up Episcopalian and Sweet Glazes Catholic, mm-hmm. Lent was always part of mm-hmm. our growing up, and so it's just kind of been, you know, something that we do every year. Now that my daughter's about to get confirmed in the church, so we made it a point that all of us have given up something as a family. So, absolutely.
Okay. Well, look, I'm just saying. I just don't want you judging me.
No.
You know what I'm saying? As the sinner that I am.
It's about your personal relationship, and I know where your heart is. I know what you do at your church. So, you'll be all right. You ain't a CME brother.
that part is true. No doubt about it. So, I spent too much time ushering to be a CME. So, that's what's up. I'm glad you said that, too, because I would never know what CME is. All right. So, I learned something from you today. Let me tell you what I learned. And I just learned it actually before the show, and it brought to light something that is really interesting to me, because I've been, you know, kind of passing this book around to people who are in entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. So I think I said a while back that I have, you know, transitioned. So I've transitioned my life to be in the digital era of consuming entertainment. So I used to be all about radio and TV and reading magazines, and now I read articles online, I read blogs, and I have a RSS feed that brings in all the content of things that I'm interested in, so I sign up for it. It comes to me. When I get I don't listen to the radio that often. I listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. and I don't watch television as much. I do like a lot of TV shows,
right?
But I really like to get new stuff from YouTube. I mean, like, I get all of my online web series. That's how I consume new and fresh content now.
Right.
And so right before the show, I said, you know, I was like, we were looking for what would be our hot or not, you know, I guess, song for today. And I said to you, yo, man, you up on Black and Sexy TV. And you looking at me like, what you talking about? And I'm like, that thing is the new ish. So, so I'm learning that people are not up on the new ways of getting content, mm-hmm. and I want to highlight Black and Sexy for the specific purpose of, and hopefully people will get this. They'll go to blackandsexy.tv, right, or they can go to YouTube and look up Black and Sexy. They've had probably on the order of, I want to say, maybe 6 or 7 series. You know, they'll have a full season. Some of those shows have had multiple seasons. They normally run between anywhere from, you know, 9 to like 15-20 minute episodes, and so this past week they just launched a online, like, basically it's a paid channel, and it's a five. I think because I've been down with them from the beginning, mine's $5 a month. But you know, I think if you started on Tuesday on, it's $7 a month, and their content is phenomenal. Like my favorite show is called That Guy. They got a ton of other shows. They just launched a new show called Sexless. Well, the travails of chicks who are trying to not have sex, but that they're regular girl women and this, that, and the third. Some virgins, some born-again virgin. They've got a roomy lover friends is exactly how it sounds. You know, so they've got a bunch of different shows that they've got some talk shows. I mean, all that. And the reason I bring it up, though, is that we talk about how we aren't represented in media very well.
Right.
And we got people that are actually putting out content that we just aren't consuming. And when I talked to Will Packer, I asked him, I was like, yo, you up on, like, Black and Sexy TV? And he's like, no, I ain't checked it out. Send it to my folks. And I'm like, but you're in that industry. That's what you do. How are you not able to figure out how to get the content that we are trying to put out and to find those new and fresh folks? I mean, I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Issa Rae, who did Awkward Black Girl.
So she
spawned Awkward Black Girl, and so she just came out with a book called The Awkward Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. She just signed with Larry Wilmore, mm-hmm. Sold in this show called Insecure, mm-hmm. to HBO. HBO's supposed to be launching that over the next
year. I did watch the Larry Wilmore show.
And so, there we go. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, that becomes the scenario where I'm saying, like, I don't know that we always looking. We looking for Empire, right? Empire blowing up. But we're not looking for the things that I think represent all the parts of the diaspora. And I learned that this week. So to cut this short, I did want to just put that in the mix and say I want us to do a better job of that. Now, let me go ahead and ask you the question that needs to be asked. How did you like Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was entertaining. It was funny. He had some really good segments. What I found to be disappointing, there was one detraction, was it was a replay of a show. And when you're talking about, and it was the show that he did right before the Super Bowl, so it was obviously a replay. And they were talking about the Super Bowl, Deflategate, and all this other stuff. So I was like, that's already happened. And so I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't get a show that was fresh and live, and so I could really vibe with him on current events, because a lot of the stuff that he was making fun of, okay, it's already passed. It's over. Mm-hmm. And so that was the only disappointment that I had, so I had to kind of put that to the side and just watch it for its content. I thought it was good. It was entertaining. It was enough to make me record the series on my DVR, because I may not stay up that late most nights.
That's me.
But I'll record the series on my DVR, and I'll catch it on a Saturday afternoon when I go through my DVR, stuff that I recorded through the week.
That's cool. That's what's up. So that's cool.
Right. Larry Wilmore gets 2 thumbs up. All
right, so I hope you learn something.
Yes,
so that's what's up. So now your homework is Black and Sexy TV.
Black and Sexy TV is online. Absolutely. I spend a lot of time on the computer. Much like you, I read a lot of blogs. Most of them are business-oriented. But I do read some news and some sports and
stuff. You pontificating on some I don't even know.
Right.
Just check out the show.
Black and Sexy TV. I'm on it.
All right. Y'all know what it is. It's segment time. Last week, Silly unveiled his brand-new segment called Silly's Sports 3 Cents. And so he's bringing it back this week. It's time to get into Silly's Sports 3 Cents.
Hey, it is your boy, Silly Thoughts, and this is your Silly Sports 3 Cents. I'm going to jump right into it. Number one. NBA All-Star just happened recently, and I'm going to say this. I'm not going to go into the game. The NBA, of all the major sports, the NBA does All-Star the best. Hockey, nobody watches hockey anymore. Baseball is boring. They had to set rules because it was just going and going and going. Football does the same thing. They don't play a lot of defense. They kind of play around. Nobody watches the Pro Bowl anymore. The NBA gets it on the All-Star game. It's hot. It's the hot ticket. You got celebrity out of Wazoo. You got like NBA All-Star is where it's at. The television ratings off the chain. And this is the crazy thing. This is how much they get it. The game is entertaining even though they're not playing any defense. It's alley-oops. It's everybody chucking up three-pointers. It's all this stuff. They play about the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, they start playing defense, but they get it. It's a great weekend. Even when you don't like the dunk contest, it still gets ratings. LeBron had a fashion show, and I watched it. Okay, that's how much they get. And it was terrible. And I still watched it, hoping it would get better. It's like Under the Cherry Moon. You watch the whole movie, and you get to the end, and you say, that was it? That's how I felt about LeBron's fashion show, but I watched it. NBA gets it. Kudos. They're tops on the All-Star game. Next up. The groupie get down, the annual groupie get down, known as the NFL Combine, begins this week. Are you going to watch it? Is it must-see TV? Probably not. And a little birdie spilled the beans this past week, and I was listening, and a guy that had run the Combine for like 31 years, he was like, the teams don't even take that shit seriously. What they do is, the reason why they have the Combines for y'all folks out there is so they can get one place where you can get all the best players and get all the medical information. That's it. You don't have to have 20 teams flying a guy around the country taking MRIs 20, 30 times and having the team pay for it out the pocket. The league pays for it. All the guys gather. They get all the medical information. They do a little 15-minute interview, but they're going to interview them again. So for all y'all that think that the annual underwear show is about really trying to a guy rising and falling, that's TV fodder. It's about the medicals and about the groupies figure out who they're going to jump on next. Moving on. Into a more serious and somber note. Big ups, and we had tragic news this past week. Ex-NBA player Jerome Kersey dead at the age of 52. Wow. I mean, I'm old enough to have seen Jerome Kersey play. Just kind of dating myself with Portland back in the day. That was a great team. He was a very good player. I call him great, but he was a very good player in the NBA for a long time. It's tragic to have somebody dead at 52. I mean, that's less than 10 years older than me. You know, that's really, it's really, really sad. What I understand, he had a blood clot in his leg, and it traveled up his way to his lung, and he died. And so, piggybacking off our show last week, if you haven't, did you hear it? Go back and listen to it. Brothers, everybody, make sure you get a physical regularly. Doc last week told y'all, get you a physician. Keep yourself, especially as you're getting older, keep your physical health as a priority in your life, because you never know when God is going to call you home. So shout out to Jerome Kersey and his family. Our prayers are with you, and thank you for entertaining us for all those years in the NBA. That's Philly Sports this week. That's what's up.
Well, look, man, first off, yes, rest in peace to Jerome Kersey. Definitely remember watching him. Portland was in the NBA Finals, and Jordan, that was the series with Jordan, you know, had the shrug, and he had 30-something points in the first half, and went from right hand to left hand in the lane. Probably been remiss as we've been going through the show to just make sure that we get a particulars, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to go see the show last week that we did with Dr. Dave Montgomery, we appreciate him for coming out. You can check that out on blogtalkradio.com. It's one of our featured posts for 2015. Go check that out when you get an opportunity. Download the podcast, if nothing else. If you don't listen to it, we don't care. Just make sure you download the podcast, all right? Do that for us. You can also check in with us. You can give us suggestions, comments, any kind of topic suggestions that you'd like for us to get onto. You can hit us at 3 Degrees Talk on Twitter, 3 Degrees of Separation Talk Show on Facebook, and you can always get us on our website at 3degreestalkshow.com. So I wanted to do that really quickly. And then it's time to transition. Mm-hmm. Hot topics. We always do. Like, you're familiar with us hitting our Nth Degree segment. We keep it going. And so we are going to continue down the path that we're going on, and we'll make sure that we get on to them hot topics. So it's time to get to it. It's Nth Degree, y'all. See, you wasn't ready. You wasn't ready for me to hit that Nth Degree.
Hey,
you know,
going to something else.
It's okay. We got it under control. Where we tell you about things that we learned over this past week in terms of the topics that we found, right? Things that we thought were interesting and topical enough for you to hear our thoughts and I guess I don't know why I'm getting tongue-tied. I mean, you know, I'm normally easy to talk about everything and anything. But the three things that we saw that we were like, hey, we need to get this on wax for our listeners. So first up, I mean, you saw this. I didn't see it, so I'm going to let you talk about it, silly. You said Afro Man. Oh, who the hell is Afro Man?
He is a musician slash he had a one hit as a rapper years ago, and now he's like a blues guitarist trying to, you know, keep that music career going. So he's at a blues festival or something. And, you know, black people don't listen to the blues anymore, so it's full of white people in the audience. And he's about to do his set. He's about to go into a solo. So everybody's feeling good. You know how these festivals are. Everybody's drinking. So a chick, a young Caucasian female, had gotten up onto the stage. Security didn't stop her. Mm-hmm. She gets up onto the stage, and she's dancing and doing her thing. And so she thinks it's going to be fun to go over and start trying to, like, you know, she's shaking her booty over there like just off to his left while he's about to play. He catches her out of the corner of his eyes, wheels, and just straight hooks her. I mean, with a straight on right, wow, knocks her down. And then turns away, doesn't go after her, turns back, and starts to play his session. A white guy climbs off the from the crowd onto the stage and goes and helps her. She gets up, she's looking stunned, and he goes and helps her off the stage. And that was it. Of course, the clip ends. It's on CNN, and it's been all over. I saw it on Facebook today, and I was like, wow. Like, that's, you know, and now he's being charged. After, you know, you follow up, he's being charged with assault, and he, you know, he did the mea culpa and the apologies. But, like, dear God.
Wow.
I mean, he went Ray Rice on him.
Wow. I mean, and you think he really, like you said, she was sitting to his corner. Did you really think that he knew that it was a woman, or he thought that, like, somebody was trying to, like, yoke up on him, or? I mean, like, is there any benefit of the doubt that this brother can get? Or
well, the one benefit of the doubt is I think he was startled and just turned and swung. I don't think he saw it was a woman. He just turned and swung, which is a problem in and of itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a shoot first, ask questions later mentality. Mm-hmm. And you're in the middle of doing a show, and you just haul off a swing on somebody.
Right.
But
that's in you.
Right. But the fact that it was a woman – and then you throw the racial elements into it, it just looks really, really bad. And
His name is Afro Man.
He's got a big afro. That was his thing. If you can Google it, you go on CNN, you'll see the story, you'll see the clip. It's not good. And I was just like, oh my God, that was the best. So
I will say that let's just transition. What ain't the best? The weather is not the best. It's the best for me in this context. I'm going to Snowmass this weekend, right? And so where I want it to be cold, it will be cold. Where I don't want it to be cold is in the Dirty South. In the Dirty South, I moved here so that I get away from Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And that's what it's doing outside on branches, on black ice. Everywhere I go, it's Snap, cold, then a mug. And so, in fact, today I think I saw a picture of all, like, the waterfall that's right in front of, like, downtown. That mug is, like, frozen. And that's not acceptable in the A. Now, across the country, I mean, you're talking about, I think one of my friends, he works remotely, and he sent me a note. He said, man, it is -7, and that's before the wind chill, in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, you know how that Chicago hawk is.
Yes.
It might be -30 before you get done with that bad boy. And so when you get to those levels, I guess the question, you know, is easy to get to. Is it just a winter? Is it that climate change, player? What do you think?
I think it's just winter, to be honest with you. I mean, winter is supposed to be cold. I mean, that's by nature, it's supposed to be cold. I think because we had a relatively mild winter this year up to this point, everybody just expected it to remain mild, and now we're getting closer to March. So folks are, like, getting ready. I mean, they're starting to unpack their spring stuff and doing all kind of, everybody's trying to get ready for the spring, dusting off their booty shorts and starting to exercise more so they can start wearing the short stuff. So, hey, people, I don't know if the little rat saw a shadow on February 2nd. I don't care, but it's still winter. It's well into March. Understand, winter is cold. Get over it. It happens.
That's what's up.
So the last thing on our hot topics this week is, Facebook is now becoming the juggernaut, the Fox News of social media.
Why you gonna say it's Fox News? They pay my bills, dog. Don't put it on Fox News. Rewind that. Say that again. Do that over.
The Disney of social media.
All right, there we go.
Where if they can't beat you, they'll buy you.
Okay.
Kind of situation.
Okay. I'm with
they've been buying up these companies now that are dabbling in virtual reality, and now they've been practicing, and they actually have a demo of where Facebook is going to offer virtual reality as part of the platform. So so instead of just seeing somebody's pictures, you can experience them in virtual reality. So if you go to on your trip and you take pictures and all kind of stuff, I could put it on and act like I could see it through the way you saw it.
Mm.
So I'm like, So I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Like, damn, you know, I can, you know, see what you saw, deal with you. But I'm like, is this a demise of human interaction and travel? Like, if I could go to Malaysia through social media, do I want to spend the money to go to Malaysia?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to go to Tahiti, Hawaii? If I do, personally, I do. But there's a lot of folks out there that might not want to put the cheese away to go experience it for themselves if they can experience something virtually. And they'll feel like, and they will feel like, even though we know it's not true because we've traveled,
mm-hmm.
so you're coming from a place of privilege on
mm-hmm.
that one,
mm-hmm.
they'll feel like, oh, well, I can just, you know, experience it online and I don't have to spend the money, and or if I don't have the means to do it, mm-hmm. I just experience it online. And I'm like, dude, you gotta, you know, I even saw something where they were talking about, like, virtual sex and all this other stuff. I'm like, you gotta let, you know, some of this stuff is gone too far. You know, is this too far, or am I taking it too?
No, you're good. I mean, I think that the scenario for this is like, I understand the point that you're making as it relates to, you know, is this a, it's a bad thing for people who have means, right? But for somebody who doesn't have means, this actually is a come up. Like, for, I mean,
right.
if you're in the hood, you ain't going to never see Tahiti at the rate that the hood works.
Yeah.
When you see the way that the divide between, you know, and I mean, where we've got, I mean, it's been this big thing about how, you know, the have and the have nots and that gap,
mm-hmm.
right, that has the income inequality has gotten so great that the opportunities for people has widened in a significant fashion. Mm-hmm. So, to somebody like that, this is an equalizer, at least of seeing things. I talked to a brother today. I mean, this is a great point. I talked to a brother today who's from New York, said he had never been west of Tennessee. Now, he amended that. And he was like, oh, yeah, I went to Texas. But his whole frame around, this is a brother in his mid-30s, right?
Right.
With family and who's got money, right? So I'm thinking, what do you mean you haven't gotten anywhere,
right?
Right. I'm like, you haven't done anything. And so this does maybe either one spur someone to want to go do something because
right.
they see what's available to them and see what those experiences are like.
Good point.
Or you just say, hey, look, this is the best I get. The best I get is to see that there's something else out there, right? Maybe makes you dream about it. I mean, I get your point. You do want to have human interaction. But I also just got to say, I mean, it's, for some folks, this is the closest you get. And that might be, you know, dope. Enough to be like, that's the deal. So that's what's up. So I think, you know, we'll see. We'll talk about that more. But because I work for a company that partners as a marketing partner for Facebook,
right?
I will be going back to work when I come back from vacation and seeing how this virtual reality thing actually works. Because our team was actually at Facebook all week this week.
Okay.
So, and you know, such for me, I wasn't there.
Right.
But that's something that I'll take up and do some research, do some homework.
Right.
Come back, tell you, hey man, this is might be the downfall, or this is the uptick. So we'll see how that works out. And
nice.
That's Nth Degree, everyone. I do want to say one thing. We always last week we wanted to do Hot or Not. We did our Hot or Not.
Right.
And unfortunately, we didn't ever really say whether or not the D'Angelo song we played was hot or not. So before we do Hot or Not tonight. I just want to ask you really quickly, the D'Angelo cut from Black Messiah, was it Really Love?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think about it? Hot or Not?
I liked it. So I guess based on that, it's hot. I think that if the people don't understand D'Angelo or don't like him, probably won't like it because it felt a little disjointed. It kind of felt like a jam session more so than a traditional song. And I'm using the air quotes, so I know we're on radio, so a podcast. So it wasn't a traditional song. It just kind of started and, you know, went freeform. But I liked it. But I'm a D'Angelo fan, so I'm a little biased on that.
That's what's up. All right, well, look, I like D'Angelo. I love the song. So I've already said, I think I said this to somebody the other day, he's going on tour. I've heard from everybody that saw his tour up in New York at the Apollo, it's off the meter.
I bet.
Get your tickets. All right. So, that's enough. All right. Well, we both say it's hot. Let's see if we go two for two on hot. We got a song called Killing Me, and it comes from the soundtrack of one of the web series I was just telling y'all about. It's the That Guy web soundtrack to, what's the name, to that show. And it's a web series that I love and enjoy thoroughly. So check out this song called Killing Me by P.E.B. Rocks and J Business. When we come back from the break, we'll tell you whether it's hot or not. And we have our guest, Attorney Chuck Hobbs will be joining us as we talk about the relevance of Black History Month. We'll be back in a couple minutes on 3 Degrees of Separation on blogtalkradio.com.
Break the tieage. So why don't you introduce our
We got a great guest, attorney Chuck Hobbs, is going to join us. So, Silly, tell us who's talking to us tonight about Black History Month, my brother.
Well, my man Chuck Hobbs is a trial lawyer, getting tongue-tied.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the Presidente's.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a trial lawyer and an award-winning freelance journalist. So let me give you a little bit of history of my man Chuck. So in 2011, Hobbs was nominated by the Tallahassee Democrat for a Pulitzer Prize commentary for a series of articles chronicling diversity within the judiciary, articles for which he won first place honors in the 2010 Florida Bar Media Awards. Hobbs is a featured blogger and frequent contributor to the Tallahassee Democrat. So let me show you where he's living, guys.
Mm-hmm.
His articles have appeared in the Miami Herald, the Florida Times Union, and the Tampa Tribune. Hobbs has also worked as a senior writer at Tech.com. Articles have been featured on Dragon.com. Blah, blah, blah. He was at the Republican convention as a blogger. Let's tell you, the brother is smart and sharp. I'm going to tell you this. We have posted on each other's Facebook, and he's a real good brother. So let's bring him on after I've, blown enough smoke up a tail. Welcome to the show, Mr. Hobbs.
Right. Good afternoon. Good evening, brothers. How y'all doing?
You're doing fantastic, man. How about yourself? It's good for you to be in the building with us, and we appreciate you for joining us this evening.
Hey, no doubt. It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. And I was listening to that song, and I'd have to vote that it's kind of hot. I kind of like the vibe a little bit. It was an early 90s kind of vibe, I grew up in the 80s and 90s and what have you, so, I kind of was feeling the song a little bit there.
That's my man, Chuck. Look, anytime, if Ellis try to cut you off tonight, he try to cut your microphone, not let you get your point across, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. He tastes all very, very well.
First of all, it's biased because both of y'all are Kappas, okay?
We always got to set the mood right for the ladies, You alpha boys ain't figured that out yet.
I know
right.
I like this brother. Well, let's get to meat, man. Let's talk about, Black History Month. I mean, we kind of were going to talk about the history of it and kind of how it came about. I want to kind of cut to the chase on. I think most people realize that, Black History Month came about because of the dearth of history that was being given in schools, that was being passed down and to the mainstream, right? Because I think we did a great job, or I wouldn't say a great job, but a good job over the centuries of trying to have a verbally passed down history. That's what we've done. Then Carter G. Woodson came out, started writing books and trying to make sure that our history was preserved. And then over time, we started saying, hey, look, we need to make sure that this does not just get passed down amongst African-Americans, but that this is American history. So that's kind of how Black history kind of came about. And now we're at a point where I want to ask the question. I want to make it really clear. Like, do we feel like Black history is still relevant? Is it, as a month, right? Not Black history in the historical sense, but as a month, do we still need a Black History Month?
I would actually say yes. I would say yes because of the fact that there are still so many among us who have no clue about the more basic aspects of our history, let alone the more complex aspects. And I think that probably one of the best cartoons I saw about this earlier this month was a little cartoon of a little Black boy, a little white boy walking together, and the little white boy was saying to his friend something to the effect of about Black History Month, and the Black boy responded back, this is for y'all, responded to whites in regards to, hey, we do it 24/7, 365, but for you all are the ones who tend to not know. But it's been my experience, brothers, that over the course of the last few years, when I started kind of segueing from just my typical two or three times per week political columns that I'd feature on Facebook and started doing a daily column on Black history, I started realizing that it's not just whites that don't know some of the deeper aspects of our shared history, but it's a lot of us that don't either. And I don't say that to act smarmy or anything like that. I think that knowing is half the battle, and I think that it's important for those of us who do know certain bits of information to pass and share that on with others. And so that's one of my passions. That's something I feel really strongly about. And, Ellis, I know you do too, because, again, it's one of those things where when you look at a lot of the things that we face right now, be it police brutality, be it what, you know, the right loves to talk about, black-on-black crime and things of that nature, the roots of those behaviors all can be traced back to certain aspects of the Black experience here in America. And I think that one of the things I get the greatest joy out of is being able to dialogue with people and kind of draw that line. When folks are like, you know what, Chuck, I didn't even realize that over 100 years ago or 80 years ago there were these riots going on and these whites were killing blacks and grand juries were being convened and no one was being indicted then, and yet here it is in 2014, we've got black men being killed, black boys being killed, and people still are not being indicted or held accountable. And so I think it helps to raise an awareness among our own people, but also an awareness among whites who tend to want to put the more negative aspects of this shared history in a vacuum and say, oh, that happened then. I wasn't around for that. I haven't benefited from slavery or Jim Crow, so they can understand that the pathologies are still the same.
So let me, challenge the point. I think is the point of the question of relevance, right? I don't think that
yes,
there's
sir.
Any question amongst the three of us that relevance is important for Black history on the whole. I guess the question would be, is Black History Month, so focusing on this in February, right, I would say that that's more relevant for white folk than it should be for us. We should want to know about this history 365. So
true.
The question becomes, do we still need in a YouTube, in a Google, in a Facebook era, right? Do you need a Black History Month in order to focus on this issue of not knowing our history, whatever the race may be? I would challenge the fact that, is it effective any longer? I don't know that it is. I don't know that we get as excited about it or should, that we shouldn't be infusing this into our daily curriculum, whether that be in school or whether that be just our own personal pursuits, to say, hey, I want to share the history of my people. So that's the part that I guess I'm questioning, and I ask you, where a Black History Month, is Black History Month in 2015, the way that we consume information, still relevant?
You know what, that's a very profound question, I'll tackle it this way. I think that it is relevant in the meantime because of the fact that, let me give another analogy. I'm a Christian, and so we know that Christmas comes in December. We know that Easter comes in March or April, but we practice Christianity 365 days a year. But during those two periods, Christianity and our theology about the birth and death and resurrection are more heightened and more pronounced in our Sunday schools and in our churches and things of that nature. So I relate that over Black History Month along that same kind of line, which is, yes, I think it should be transitioned into mainstream 24/7, 365 in the school system and things of that nature. But understanding that it's not, while many of us continue to fight to get it to be more mainstream, I think in the meantime, these short 4 weeks are at least good because it does create a situation whereby you have corporations making commercials to put tidbits out. I went to Regions Bank the other day to make a withdrawal on the ATM, and interestingly enough, on the screen came up Regions Bank supports Black history and what have you. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, that means everybody that came to this ATM today gets hit with this Black history comment, and so it's in your face. So ultimately, I think you're right. I would love to see it whereby this one day, and I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetimes, but I would love to see it whereby this is constant because, again, I always loved history. I had the fortune of growing up around parents who grew up in Jim Crow. So, of course, many of the things I know, I take for granted because these things were embedded in me from, like, day one. And many of us had parents who were imparting that wisdom. But, again, as I live, I realize there are a lot of people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, who did not have that. And in the school system, they don't have it either. And so, like, for instance, down here in Florida, a lot of people don't realize that in the mid-90s, there was a statute that was passed that mandated that Holocaust history and black history were to be taught in the public school systems for all 67 districts. Now, interestingly enough, to their credit, many of the Jewish advocacy groups have gone forward and do many wonderful seminars, and they have competitions, writing competitions, book reading competitions, and what have you, for students to learn more about the Holocaust. And many teachers even within our districts go and they get these specialized trainings to be able to provide instruction to their students about that unfortunate period in world history. But what we have learned down here is that when it comes to the black history part, that has not been pushed at the same level by black advocacy groups. So I know that, like, last year I met with a representative from the SCLC who was discussing, okay, what can we do to try to make sure that these curriculum pieces are, you know, woven into the common standards and what have you for social studies / history teachers in each of the districts in the state of Florida. And, again, that's something that I'm very excited about because, again, I would love it so that by the time my daughter is of age, 12, 13, 14 years old, she's not in an American history class understanding that black history is relegated to two things, slavery and or Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat and or Martin Luther King had a dream. I mean, it's way more than just that, but it's just limited to that, unfortunately, because, again, the teachers don't know, and then therefore the teachers aren't imparting that knowledge on a day-to-day basis to their students.
It's good. I like that, and being from Florida originally, I applaud your efforts in that, and anything we can do to help support those efforts, you know, please reach out to me on that. But here's my question. In a time in 2015, where the word inclusion is like a social hot word, that's a key word. Everybody's like, oh, it's about inclusion. You even saw it when the protesters would come out and they had the Black Lives Matter, and then you had all these other folks come out with All Lives Matter, and it was like, okay, that moved from a segregation of just talking about, you know, police brutality on blacks to a to say the Black Lives Matter. Oh no, it's all lives because we have to be inclusive. So
right.
In this inclusive theme that we see in society, should we focus more on moving black history as part of a generalized American history, or should we try to continue to bang the drum for a kind of a separate black history?
I like you brothers because y'all come with the real. Y'all come hard. That is an interesting question, and I have to sit here and think about that because on a humanistic level, I want to say, yes, it should be all seamlessly woven in. But truth be told, I still believe that, and this is as one, before I went to law school, I got 2 degrees in history, one from Morehouse and one from FAMU. And so in my heart, I'm kind of the opinion that I like the distinct flavor that certain aspects of history have separate and apart from trying to say, let's just all put it together. You know, one of our de facto mottos here in America is E Pluribus Unum, from many one. And everybody tries to say, okay, we're the melting pot and things of that nature. But in my head, I've always kind of viewed it as less of a melting pot and more of a gumbo, whereby, okay, in a gumbo, you can taste the chicken, you can taste the sausage, you can taste the shrimp. And yet, you know, they have their distinct flavors, but still it makes for one compelling dish. And so with that in mind, I would still like to see it taught more in the mainstream, but I would like for it to still maintain its separate kind of identity and or do some fusion whereby you can say, okay, let's do some cross comparison. So if you want to discuss the difficulties that blacks may have had after Reconstruction, let's take that. We could compare that to the troubles that during that same period in the late 19th century that Asian immigrants had who were coming out to California, working on the railroads, they were experiencing discrimination and things of that nature also. And it makes for some very compelling comparison and contrast with respect to Asians being lynched, Asians being burned up, not to the degree and to the numerical quantity with respect to our people, but they suffered greatly also. And I think that it's important for us to be able to do that, especially when you consider that one of the more frustrating narratives I've heard recently is, and I posted this on Facebook earlier tonight, like, for instance, you know, President Obama spoke today about what's going on in the Middle East with respect to ISIS slash ISIL, and you've got all of these people, some on the left but mostly on the right, who are upset with him that he won't say these are radical Islamic terrorists. And so in my question earlier, I was like, well, if he's calling it terrorism, if he's saying that it's violent extremism, then why is it that you all can't understand why it is he wants to reject knee-jerk-wise saying that it's Islamic terrorism, when many of you don't want to hear us say, well, the KKK and the people that were stringing our people up and the people that were stringing up Asians and what have you and shooting Jews and what have you, those are Christian terrorists. They don't want to hear that. But again, I think if you have the type of history that I'm contemplating, whereby you can look at what was happening then and compare it to what's happening now, then I think we would make a much better place and have a much better informed group of young men and women coming up behind us.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, first I appreciate that thoughtfulness to the question, because I mean, I would say I went to Georgia Tech, and so in high school, you know, there are segments of history, right? So there's world mm-hmm. history. There was American history. We even had Georgia history, right? You got all of the segments of history. There's a value to having a black history. But I also think that there's, you know, as we get, you know, growing up, I guess in my day, it really, there was white history to the for most of our commentary around history. And then there's like, there is that black history, right? Because it was only really black and white. Well, now the melting pot has started to get big enough that you can actually start saying, hey, to your point, I mean, you made a great point. What do I know enough about Latin American contributions?
Right.
Probably not. Asian American contributions? Probably not. Native American? There are lots of areas, and it has a value as it relates to America, because America is not just black and white. So it's important that we do recognize the contributions that each piece of the melting pot contributes to this gumbo. And so when I got to college, I took 4 different African American studies classes, and I was even surprised. Like, I grew up at Ebenezer Baptist Church. I was in the melting pot, all of that black civil rights.
Amen. Ministry. Right. You were right in the middle of it.
All the time. I was at church, and here's Coretta Scott King. Here's Christine King Ferris. Here's Martin Luther King, father, so on and so forth.
Right.
So all of that came together when I'm growing up. So I got to feel that. But, you know, that's a very unique circumstance. People don't normally get that. So it took me actually having to take those classes to actually start seeing actually more depth to slavery, and that there were free black folks back in the 1800s,
right?
You know, to the surprise of myself, but, you know, to people who actually studied it can actually give you some depth to, well, it wasn't just slaves back then. It wasn't just people who were denigrated, who didn't have the ability to build a society. You know, so when people try to reduce us to certain things, that's an important component of it, and you wouldn't get that. I mean, there's too much, too little time in a high school curriculum to try to get that deep. And I think we get upset because we're like, man, why ain't they telling our history? I'm like, but yeah, to try to get all of that in, you know, they're doing their best to sprinkle in some Martin Luther King and some Rosa Parks. I mean, I'm happy they get that.
And Dred Scott, you forgot about Dred Scott.
Don't forget about Dred. That's so true.
They throw Dred Scott out there. So I say that, though, just to say that, I do believe that it's important that some of these categories are segmented out so you actually can go deep. You know, and the key is that you want to do it in a way that allows other, like, it's not just me and Ellis and you, right, that have to listen, that read and learn about that. It's that others learn about that so they do understand that there is a diaspora, that it crosses many different classes and many different intelligence levels, and it kind of shows that breadth. And then hopefully brings you to today, and says, okay, these folks ain't monolithic. These folks ain't just Empire. These folks ain't just Cosby Show.
Right.
These folks ain't just, you know, and it gives you that breath so you're not, like, surprised when it happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, too, because I was thinking about that when I was watching Trying to Juggle this week, man. You know, everybody, and it's funny that you say Empire. Everybody's so upset with Empire and they're mad with being Mary Jane. And I'm like, I like these shows because, I mean, they're different. You know, all shows have some level of stereotypes. But, again, I don't necessarily have my Italian-American friends all upset when people talk about how much they love The Sopranos, and I think sometimes we get a little sensitive. But back to your main point, I was watching Book of Negroes this week, and, you know, the thing that kept sticking out to me with respect to that was, and I was noticing on social media that there were a lot of black people in particular that were feeling some kind of way, man, about seeing black slave catchers snatching up bodies and selling them to whites. And I'm like, well, hey, just like you just said, growing up, you might not have heard that much, either at home or even in your mainstream schools. But, yeah, by the time I got off to college and started getting in depth, it was a lot of things that were eye-openers for me, not just the black slave catchers, but also years later learning that there were even some blacks who were able to purchase slaves here in the southern United States, not in terms of basically – from what I've learned through the years, like what we think of with Massa with the Great Big Plantation and cracking the whip necessarily, but, you know, through the process of trying to buy off family members, they might have been free blacks and they wanted to buy their wife or they wanted to buy their children and things of that nature. And those are things that we just aren't taught a lot. Or like you say, that there were strong free communities throughout the South and definitely up in the Northeast. And more crucially, one of the things that I find fascinating the older I get and try to talk about as much as I can in some of my writings is the fact that we get all upset and, you know, about Jim Crow in the South and how bad things were down here in Dixieland, but, you know, it wasn't super great up in the North, the Midwest, and even out West to an extent either. I remember at some point reading when Martin Luther King discussed that one of the worst series of events he ever experienced was when he was trying to lead a march up in Chicago, and you're thinking to yourself, wow, the Windy City's got to be a nice spot, you know, all those black people up there, but no, Martin Luther King ran into racism out there. We know about racism out in Hollywood through the years and what have you, and we definitely know that up in the Northeast, Boston and certain areas like that, it's always been tight for our people, and so we have to understand it's good and bad, and we have to be able to explore those issues so that we understand it's not just in a vacuum.
Well, Chuck, I want to just thank you for, first, and I'm going to ask you a wrap-up question, but first I want to just say thank you for coming on and joining us. Your intelligence and your commentary has added to this show. Also wanted to say quickly that for anybody that listens to this podcast, I would encourage you, and if you haven't read it yet, Chuck, I would encourage you to read it. It's a book called A Different Mirror by Ronald Takashi. He's a Japanese American professor out of California. I think he's at Berkeley. But it really chronicles the different ethnic groups and how they experienced their own form of discrimination, from Irish Americans when they first got here to German Americans when they first got here, Native Americans, of course, Asian, everything that we talked about, and everybody's individual history. He talks about it in this one book, and that was the one thing that really opened my eyes when I read that book as an African American, because I thought, hey, black people had it the worst in this country. We had slavery. Boom. That was a big joker in Spain. Ah, I threw it out there.
Right.
But
right.
When you start reading about Native American history and what they went through, then you start reading about what you're talking about with Asian Americans and the way they ran a lot of Hispanics out of Texas and pushed them, you know. So it was a lot going on that if every American could read a book like that, doesn't have to be that specific book, but a book like that to understand that there is a shared connectedness that we all have had. So, and if we can incorporate that as part of our social context, then I think we can get beyond the division that we see. Even on Facebook, you know, if I post something that's racial on Facebook, I guarantee you it goes nuts. I got white friends,
absolutely,
I got black friends, and they and both sides nuts, and then sometimes they start calling each other names, and it gets out of control, and I'm like, dude, y'all need to calm down. I got white friends questioning my relationship with them. Well, can I sit down and break bread with you again? Could you? I'm like, no, I'm not angry. Like,
I know the feeling.
I'm not going to get, and I do know my history, so when I can play those games like it didn't happen, okay, let's talk about it from a place of real and respect. So my final question to you is, it's been said parenthetically that in songs that white people know more black history than black people. In your opinion, is this true? Why or why not?
I would say that the more educated among them do, but I have found in my experience that the more educated among them are not as great in numbers as many of us are led to believe. I am continuously amazed at the lack of, the displays of ignorance. And when I say ignorance, I'm not saying that to be mean, but ignorance in terms of the pure sense of the word of not knowing among so many whites of so many basic aspects of the black experience in America. And I think that what troubles me even more than that, brothers, is the fact that not only are so many of them ignorant, but increasingly you're finding that many are celebrating their ignorance also in the form of, I don't want to take these history courses. We don't need these additional AP history courses because they're liberal and they're trying to brainwash us and they're trying to make sure that America doesn't, stand like a shining city on the hill and things of that nature, not understanding that you can love a country. I saw where former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani said that he felt the President Barack Obama yesterday, he said, does not love America. And they expounded upon that a lot today on Rush and Glenn Beck. I always listen to conservative talk radio when I'm sitting in my office and what have you. I keep the radio on, pay attention to what they have to say. And it was so interesting because the simple comeback to that is, why is it that so many people, particularly so many of my white brothers and sisters, have this mistaken belief that to love this country, you cannot criticize this country. And I think that that is a fundamental difference between black thought, and that's also with respect to black history and black current events, and many of our white brothers and sisters. They see it as one way, we see it as another. Doesn't mean that you hate America and that you want ISIS to win or anything like that, because like I tell people all the time, when Al-Qaeda put those planes into those buildings, there were black people that got killed in those towers that day too, and at the Pentagon. Same with Latinos, same with Asians. There's a lot of people of all races that perished on 9/11, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that because 9/11 happened that we are less than patriotic in terms of asking, okay, what policies has our country advocated over the last two or three decades that have made so many Arabs and Muslims across the world believe that we are the great Satan and worthy of attack or jihad? So, I mean, again, I think that's why it's important that we continue to write, we continue to post on social media, and we continue to have dialogues on shows like yours so that we can continue to at least put up our position and make the other folks who don't share our position think. And I think that's what it all comes down to at the end.
Well, cool, man. Well, look, Chuck, we wish we had a little bit more time to kind of still dig into some of this stuff. You said some things that I want to dig into, but all that means is that we just got to have you back.
We got to have him back.
So,
hey, man, anytime y'all want me, I'm here, bro. So y'all keep up the good work. Always a pleasure to talk to some more intellectual brothers. And anytime, I look forward to speaking with you, okay?
I don't know. We appreciate it. That is Attorney Chuck Hobbs.
Got a standing ovation.
Oh, right. I didn't know if that thing was ever going to stop. So, we appreciate him for coming on. He made a lot of great points, some points that I think need to be heeded as it relates to not only our consumption of what we consider black history, but why we should continue to push. Because I would just say that, like, I think that, you know, our forefathers, you know, I would say a couple of generations ago,
right,
they pushed hard for Black History Month.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I think we've gotten to the point now where it's so watered down. And so, I mean, I think there are companies and corporations that keep it up because it's a good feel-good thing to do. It is a it actually can make you money, right?
Right.
Like SunTrust is saying that because they're like, we want to keep our black brothers and sisters happy and staying in the fold, but not because there's a conscious reason to say I need to expand the level of information that you know about this group of people.
Right.
I don't know too many people that are doing that now. And so, yeah, we do get a lot of these shows that come in. A Book of Negroes, I'm glad he mentioned that because I was interested that even on his Facebook page, people are talking about it. I'm like, I don't know nobody talking about it. People on my, and maybe that's an indictment of the people that are my friends on Facebook and Twitter, because they talking about empire. That's what they're talking about. That's all they're talking about. And I'm like, Cookie is not going to save you. You know what I'm saying? So I wish that that's what was a more, you know, I had a more diverse understanding and information set from things like that in our entertainment and in the consumption of things that we get during this month. I'm not seeing a lot of people who are saying, here are the things that I've learned or am learning and want to share with the masses about us. And so that's a troubling thought.
Well, I will say two things. First thing I will say is, you know, I had a lot of people on my Facebook, in my group of friends that were watching you know, Book of Negroes. And I was surprised. And I was watching Gotham on Monday night. I was getting my Gotham on. And I had posted on Facebook. I was like, well, why is nobody watching Gotham? And somebody hit me back and was like, because we watching Book of Negroes. Why aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, okay, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see people posting about Book of Negroes. So there are some people out there that were watching it. And apparently it did very well. The second thing I will say is, in this reboot of the 3 Degrees of Separation talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to call it, we 2 for 2 on guests. I'm just going to call that out. We 2 for 2 on guests. We had Doc last week dropping medical knowledge, and we had Chuck Hobbs this week coming, bringing heat about Black History Month. So we 2 for 2. You stick with us, and we're going to bring you some hot fire on guests. We like Dylan. We spit hot fire.
That's right. That's right. I ain't mad at that. No doubt about it. Well, look, before we get out of here tonight, I got to finish off with my segment. Silly got his. It's my turn to get mine. It's a Larry Love, L Love, premarital, or pre-married three-pointer. So I got 3 points about pre-married life. And so I wanted to get to that. And so you got some music for me, man? Is that what you're trying to do?
I'm getting your drop ready for
you
get done.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm like, did you do a drop for me? Oh, this is about to be awesome. Now you're back to not awesome. All right. So let me get into it. Point number one, all right? The ability to travel well. I'm about to go on this trip. Girl, at some point, she's going to make it out, hang out with me on the slopes. And I'm just saying that if this don't go well, I don't know if we can stay together, because I need a chick who can ride and kick it and traveling, because everybody don't travel well together. You got some friends, right, that you can kick it with, and I've been with them, and when y'all leave and go on the road, all of a sudden, the idiosyncrasies start to come out, and they snore, and they don't like to hang out late, or they don't vibe and do the things that you do when they
plan every damn minute of the vacation.
Yes.
Okay, and we got to be here by 3 o'clock, and by 5:30 we got to be at dinner, and by 7 o'clock we got... No, it's vacation, they can roll with it.
All right, now I'm going to stop.
It's your three, because you're
in my segment.
Okay.
But your point was on point. All right, now don't let that happen again.
I'm sorry. I'll wait to the end. That's on me.
Point number two. The ability to recognize that you do something that you tell your partner not to do, right? That's essential to the health of a relationship, that you recognize that that's happening, right? There are some people who don't recognize that, like, you'll be like, I hate that you snore, but they snore, right? So then they get mad at you, and you're like, but hold up, you're doing that too. Now, the key to a relationship is that other person may not care about it as much as you do, right? But you still need to recognize, you better ask that question first. There's a lot of people that like to put, you know, oh, why you cutting me off all the time? But they cut you off. You be like, hold up, man. You can't put that on me and not accept it for yourself, all right? So just knowing that is something that you got to have. They may not care like you care, all right, about them situations. So that's point number two. Point number three, and this is the most important point of all the points I made in these two episodes, right? These two podcasts,
go back to hear my three-pointer from last podcast. Listen to this one today. Don't spike the football. You might be like, hey, I want you to do this. You need to apologize for how you acted the other day, right? If I come to you and I apologize, don't hit me with the, and don't do it again. That's spiking the football. That's like, once I said, hey, you know what, I'm sorry, I apologize. I really didn't mean to make you feel, do, whatever that is. When you come back with the, and you rob Gronkowski that ball, now you didn't put a stain and you pump, and especially to a man. A woman may not feel that way, but
right.
to a man, it's like, hold up now. Look, I just subjugated myself. I put my kneel down to the throne of what you're saying, and now you're going to smack me upside the head while I'm down there. That ain't, you don't want me to, you don't want to hear this apology again, do you, huh? Because that's where that feels. So I just want a woman, you know,
amen.
Don't spike the football. You know, she come in and say, baby, you know, I was supposed to cook something for you when you was feeling down. I should have made you some soup. My bad. And you like, and put some Ritz on that. No, don't say that. You may feel that, but don't put that. Put some Ritz on that at the end of that, because now you done been like, okay, now I'm putting your nose in it. You
right.
don't want that to be the scenario.
No.
So that's my three-pointer for today. Larry Love's premarital three-pointer.
I'm one of those people that's so smart that I'm uncomfortable in this world.
That drop. Hey, so I just,
and I'm sorry I jumped in on the first one, but you know, absolutely. Your second point, for those that don't know, that's called insight.
I'm going to sum it up in one word, that's called insight.
I love it.
Know your ish before you start dishing out on other folks' ish, okay? And absolutely on the third one, that was another form of insight that displayed by L. Love. I'm proud of you, son.
Hey,
you might be ready to walk back.
Hey,
you might be ready.
Hey, watch yourself.
You might be ready, because that's absolutely. Can't spike the football as much as you might want to. God, doggy, you be wanted. I mean, I'm just saying. You get that mean couple, you be like, ooh, I'm finna get this. I've been waiting to say this. Don't drive that steak home, player. Let it go.
You can't.
You take that with you. You got to hand the football. Look, you got to do it like Barry Sanders. He was just handing the football
to the
ref. You can't be over there with Deion Sanders with your hand behind your neck. It's just not a...
For married men, that's called chips. That you just got some chips in the game, okay? In poker, you just rake in some chips. Don't give them back by spiking the football. Hold those chips because you're going to need it later on, because you might hang out with your boys too late. You might do something foolish, and you might have to get that mea culpa. You got some chips stacked up. You all good. But you try to give your chips back by spiking the football,
mm-hmm.
you're going to F up.
All right.
Problem.
Well, look, man, we are a little bit over on time. We said we was trying to get this mug to be an hour, but it's even, hey, look,
good
great
content
guess. And great guests is what it is. So, but I do want to get to shout out time before we make tracks. Got any shout outs before we get up out of here?
Not really, you know. Just I hadn't even thought about shout outs this week. Shout out to dude calling me about that call we're supposed to have. Shout out to that cat waking
dude.
Me up.
Dude.
Yeah, it was a guy trying to sell me some services, but it was all good, you know. Whatever.
Hey man, I'm gonna need you to be a little more specific with your shout outs, man. It can't be dude. Dude is not gonna be acceptable for future podcasts. But
okay.
That I got you. Let's strike that from the record.
What about a
shout out? But I gave him a shout out, but I'll give him another shout out.
Come on now.
Yo.
Even though he is a dude, he
brought the heat today. Our paths haven't crossed physically, but Facebook is a great equalizer,
yeah.
and we've commented
on the virtual reality
stuff.
You just asked us about.
That virtual reality, but you know he posts some really great content, so I would suggest if you know go follow him. If you can't friend him, at least follow his feed. He puts some really great stuff out there about Black history, just some thoughtful posts. And he's posted on some of my stuff, and he likes the stuff that I put on it, and we just kind of vibed on that level. He even liked the silly sports stuff, and so I was like, you know, I knew he would be a great guest for tonight's topic, and he did. He came and showed and proved. So
that's
big shout out to Chuck Hobbs for representing tonight, and shout out to last week's guest.
Look, Dr. Dave is my man, and so awesome.
Well, look, we're going to get up out of here. I want to just say shout out to everybody that's been involved in making sure that I get out to Aspen next week so I can get this thing crack-a-lackin'. It's going to be a great time. I will not hear or see from none of y'all till March. I'm kicking it this weekend for a full week. I'm going to get my snowboard on, as I always do, so I'm excited about that. So I will look forward to hearing and seeing what you guys have to say about our show. Download it. Check us out. We can't wait to see y'all. Until next week, one love, two strong, 3 degrees. It's your boy, Silly Thought. L-Love, we out of here.